A recent newspaper article reported on daily life in the tortured city of Beirut, Lebanon. The article described a sense of futility that threatens to descend upon those unhappy residents of that city. It outlined the three stages of reaction to their conflict situation. It said first, there's always panic, the initial panic of a person to disaster, as when the abnormal becomes almost normal simply out of repetition. Then there develops a kind of numbness to what is happening and an attitude that somehow or another we must tough it out. And then finally, when there is no relief from the conflict, there is an enervating sense of hopelessness. An American professor who has lived in Beirut for many years tried to explain this phenomenon of finally becoming simply too tired to cope with this continuing crisis. He said, there is a test that we used to do in class to see how easily living things can adapt. You put a frog in a pail of water and then gradually turn up the heat. And the frog just keeps adjusting to the new temperature until it finally boils to death, because it becomes so used to adjusting that it does not even think anymore to jump out of the pail. I feel like that frog, he said. Now, I know that is a most unattractive experiment, but it does make a telling point for us. It is a point that applies to each one of us here this morning. Each one of us as a person is to some extent an organism that does adapt and adjust. The danger is that we will end up adapting to the very point of finally losing ourselves. But that is why the gospel is always there, to remind us that we people today are in a pail of water, and the water is getting hot. And it is the gospel that always urges us to jump out before we boil to death. Now, we people do adapt continually and necessarily. Any society in which a Christian lives will always demand some kind of adaptation. And this adapting will pull the Christian away from the gospel. It is not that society is forcing a person to do evil things. It pulls the believer from the gospel by inserting into the believer's life a set of values that will always differ from those that are taught by the gospel. The gospel is always counter-cultural. The values of society may not always contradict the gospel, but they will always differ. And the believer is pried away from the gospel by 1,001 little subtle, very subtle sometimes, and unseen pressures. There are any number of examples that could be offered, but the mildest example that I can think of at the moment is the next time that you happen to be in a shopping mall, sit down on a bench and watch the children. What are we doing to the children when we bring them to a shopping mall? What are we saying to them? What values are being inserted into their lives at a shopping mall? Now, we're not talking about evil people, abusing their children. We are talking about loving parents who do care for their children. And we're not talking about something bad, nor even something that we should not do. We are simply talking about those subtle, unseen tuggings of a child's heart from the gospel, which is countercultural. What is it that the shopping ball so subtly does say to the child? That you are what you have? That you are what you do? That you visit this shrine to the values of merchandising and advertising in order to pay homage to what really matters in life? That you've come here to bow down in worship to what is really important in life? Now, if in any way we are really saying this to the children, then we are setting them out on a life pattern that eventually will have foundations that will become so brittle and susceptible to crumbling under pressure. If we allow society to teach children that they are what they have, then their very being could be destroyed by an arsonist in the night. And if we allow society to teach children today that they are what they do, then times of economic crunch threaten their very being. And if we allow society to teach them that health is all that important, then their being could be destroyed by a serious illness even before they become old. Now, all of these are values of our society today, and we all do keep adjusting to them, necessarily so. But the gospel is always there with another set of countercultural values, telling us that we people today are indeed in a pail of water, and that we should always be ready to leap out before we adapt too much. Before we adapt to the very point of losing ourselves, losing the meaning of what life is all about. The gospel does this each weekend as we come here by telling us what is really important in life. It teaches us that what we have is not very important, really. That being like everyone else is not very important. And yet that's what we do. What is important, ultimately, is who we are. That we are, in the beautiful words of the second reading, that we are indeed a chosen people, a royal priesthood by our baptism, a consecrated nation, that we are a people that the risen Christ claims for his own, so that we will proclaim the works of the Father who called us people out of darkness into his wonderful, marvelous light. We are those people who do believe that Jesus is the way. And we are his disciples. He is the way that we are called upon to follow. Now, theologians today speak about this marvelous, deep, profound truth that every person is capable of being a capacity for the infinite, literally. And what that term means is that every human being is a possibility for God dwelling within. That every human being is a hollow spot in a very crowded world. a hollow spot that can be filled only by the presence of the Spirit of the living God. It means, therefore, that none of us will ever be satisfied with any moment or anything in life. Nothing will ever be able to truly satisfy us, ever. And yet, as we know, there's the continuing effort to exploit this depth reality within us. Today's consumer society keeps telling us in so many ways that happiness will come to you only if you have all those things that society produces, advertised on television. And so we try to fill up the hollow spot in our lives with all kinds of things. And then something curious begins to happen to us. We discover that the more that we throw into this empty place in our heart, the deeper, the broader, and the emptier it becomes. And the reason is clear. This hollow spot in our heart, this capacity for the infinite within us, can be filled only by the presence of God's living Spirit. Nothing else can fill that emptiness. We will remain restless as we busy ourselves with all kinds of things, many of them worthwhile, necessary, and yet there's always that possibility that in the process we will lose ourselves in that very busyness as we avoid time for refreshment and prayer, meditation. We could adapt ourselves right into oblivion. And that is why the gospel always stands there. Reminds us each Sunday that our life continues to be filled with pails of warm water, warming us, warning us that we could become too comfortable. Our human existence will cease when that water begins to boil. Lord, you have made us for yourself, and our heart will always remain restless until it does rest in you. Thank you.